Good morning. Can you fit me in? Hope everyone is well. Stepped away for some work. Welcome back. I am not only honored you're still listening, but I am very happy that we've made a lot of progress in our conversations and people have been reaching out to me. So that's a really good thing. I want to keep it light today, but get a point across. Today, I want to discuss something that's not only just been on my mind, something that's probably been on a lot of people's mind. Like, besides how do you get started in the technology industry, the opportunities in the technology industry, you know, we need to start looking at what things will affect us, not only in the technology industry, but just in our general business cycles of work. If you listen to my other podcasts, I talk about the wolf and the dog, and I talk about some of these parodies that transition to our lives and we're not aware of it. And some of my politics does and can 100% affect your life, despite your party affiliation and your ideology. If you're not participating in the political process or the political conversation, like I said on my last podcast about the ghost in the shell and how basically you're wondering why some things are happening to you or you're not aware of some of these things and you're just sitting around complaining all day. And you're like, oh, man, it's all rigged and oh, man, you know, this stuff is already beyond us and all that stuff. You are what I call a doubter. You're a self-fulfilling prophecy of not reaching your potential. And if you think that complaining without an agenda is going to get you something, then you are where you're supposed to be. There is nothing wrong with a complaint followed by a plan of action and an agenda, right? So if you're going to complain about where you are, or what you're trying to achieve, and you're not doing anything about it, your actions are speaking louder than words ever could. So you want to have some type of agenda. So to get an agenda, as I was discussing in my software company some time ago, we're looking into some different types of ways to basically take our financial future back through crypto and some other avenues. We're trying to be aggressive in markets that don't really even people are paying attention to, right? They're not paying attention to. But at the same time, the talent level in these spaces are quite high, but they're overlooked spaces. So when you want to get out there and you just see something, you say, I'm going to make a complaint about, you know, let's say you make a complaint about something you do all the time. And most people go to a restaurant and they eat. And then they say, oh, you know, this food service was horrible, you know. So when you complain, you complain about the food or you complain about the service, but they all go together. The reason some of these restaurants are successful are because of their service, not necessarily product. I'm not a big Chick-fil-A lover, but for whatever reason, the Chick-fil-A by me is packed. I've been in there eating Chick-fil-A. It doesn't taste great to me. I need some Lowry's or something I need some seasoning on my sandwiches or something. It tastes very bland to me. But I can say this. The service was like I was at a sit-down restaurant. It was very unexpected because that's not what you expect when you go to a fast food restaurant. So they've decided to make a living probably giving a what they consider a high-grade product until, you know, Popeye's chicken sandwich came out. And Popeye's chicken sandwich blew it off the map. So people were willing to sacrifice service for great food. But Popeye's chicken sandwich is gone for some reason. And it's not back right now. But we're just talking about how the parodies of service roll together in the avenue of a distribution of a product. You yourself are a product. You yourself. And if you develop an ideology, especially in the world of technology, an ideology of you're not going to put the work in to figure out a part or space that you can excel in, you're not going to get very far. And like I said before, you don't have to be the front-end developer, all that kind of, you can just be a business person in technology. A lot of times in these companies, they make a huge mistake. They put business people over technology. That's a huge mistake. Instead of putting people that know how to do business and technology, like, you know, information and technology expert with experience in business. They understand cycles. They understand flows. They understand project management, development. They understand the SDLC. So they understand these cycles. I meet a lot of people that sometimes they say they want to make an app. I want to make this app. And the first thing I tell them to do a lot of times is, okay, when you're going to make an app, the first thing you need to do is get your idea out, right? So I think sometimes they think, oh, if they know me, they think that I'm going to write out their idea. I'm not going to do that, right? I'm going to point you into a professional person that can get your idea out in what's called a design doc, right? So we create these design docs, and this professional person gets your idea out, and these are the development processes. They'll put it in words, basically, so a developer can follow it, and they can get you an accurate quote out for your project, right? You can shop it around, basically. Now, design docs vary in price depending on what you're trying to achieve. What a lot of people don't understand is this design doc can be used not just for your app, but it can be used for your website and your multiple apps because there's different platforms, right? So you got to build a website a lot of times and then build the app that goes along with the website. But some people don't. Some people just build apps and they don't build a real website. They just have an app. They don't have a web-based PC version of the application. It depends on what type of application you are building. Another thing you want to do is if you're going to become what I call a doer of processes, a doer of your idea, you can't limit your idea by I don't have the money, right? If I had to sit back and think about how many times I didn't have the money for this and that and that, I'd probably be not only nowhere or anywhere. I wouldn't be anywhere because money comes and goes. You can be rich and then poor. But what does not come and go is your execution or acting on your dream and your idea, right? So if you find a space that you think there's an opportunity in, right? And you're just like, I got this great idea, this great idea. Yeah, it's going to cost some money. But I want you to spend your money and give your money up on creating a design doc. A technical design doc is going to cost you anywhere from a good one. Might be somewhere around. You can start as low as probably, depending on who's writing it for you, $500. $500 probably gets you in a game for a technical design. And it can go as high as $3,000-$5,000, depending on how nuancy they are. But some developers would do your design doc according to, you know, also you letting them design a project, right? So that's how some web developers used to operate. Some web developers used to give you a mock-up, or some companies will still do it. They'll give you a mock-up of, you know, of your website. When I used to do website development, I was totally 100% against mock-ups if you had a basic website. They take a lot of time. And not only that, since website prices have gone down so much, it's not really worth somebody like me my time to do such a thing. But what I do and concurrently is create the website, and then I will let the client chop it up and change it after I put the base things in it. Because I normally just wouldn't design a website. I'm designing your entire business, from the website to the marketing to all the way to the layout, determining which type of vendors you'll use to run your business, CMS, and some type of POS system, you know, all types of things to help you really get growing, and even determine if you need an app versus not needing an app. You know, maybe there's some other options. But my point being is that's my job as an IT consultant. So you need to take the money to get your money up to get to a design doc. That design doc will allow you to slowly but surely work on your project. And then I can recommend a place like Upwork to shop your Upwork.com, lets you basically find consultants in all types of fields. And you can go around and shop around your project. You can put the price in, how much you want to pay for your project. Upwork has a very beautiful system, helps you navigate perhaps the developers that may be interested in your project. I can tell you this also, if you're going to also elicit overseas help, you got to be really careful. There's different time zones. Some of them do excellent work. But a lot of times, as of late, I've been seeing, I can't say this of all, but as of late, I haven't been seeing the price differential experience that you think you would see by using someone overseas. And even if you do experience it, they want a lot of volume work. They'll say, oh, we'll give you this amount of work, because they do billable hours, guys. Like, they do billable hours like attorney. And every good person that ever deal with attorney knows you don't want to do billable hours when an attorney. You want to get a price if you can. You want to do the same thing with by project with your developer. Some developers will let you buy so many hours. And if they sell them in chunks, that's okay as well, because they figure you'll come back and use them, as long as you have honest developers. And that's why you got to get your tech up. You got to understand that, okay, so much is going to be on the UI, the user interface design. So much is going to be on the middleware. So much is going to be on the back end of your development. Now, again, this does not require you to be a super technical expert. The thing what most people don't understand is you just got to be the expert in your project. You have to be able to explain what you are trying to accomplish in your project. I had a customer reach out to me, older lady, and she wanted to create some type of website for her church, basically for kids to be able to get a hold of this music that she was recording. These are what I call side project kind of things, but they envision it differently. So, which is fine, you know. These are not, she envisioned it as an app. I did not envision it as an app, but some people want an app and they just don't know they can do the same thing with a mobile website and save a ton of money. I'm not a person that's going to oversell you. I don't do that with the government. I don't do that with anybody. So I'm just going to tell you exactly what you need, right? So if I tell you exactly what you need, it doesn't mean by God I'm the gospel and the end all be all. It just means that this is the way I see it, and this is perhaps the way you should approach it, right? So you can just lay down the process in which you want to implement your ideas and your goals. I want you to get excited about these ideas. I was starting reading Michelle Obama's book, Becoming Michelle Obama, you know. And one thing that I just started, so I'm not going to go too far. One thing, as I was reading it, I realized something about Michelle Obama. You ask yourself, people may not, but I ask myself, you know, why did Obama, after so long of him taking his time, decide to marry a Michelle Obama, right? And I think the biggest thing that I could see in a Michelle Obama is not only was she a supporter of his dreams, right, but she's an inspirational person on her own thing. She's a person of action, actionable woman, actionable first lady, and hugely admired by millions, and of course admired by me in all terms. But when you have actionable people around you, life changes, right? When you have actionable people around you, life changes. If you're in school right now, we got some interns in our company, and it's some surprising, exciting interns in our company coming from all walks of life. And I am truly inspired by their different skill sets. Some are highly skilled, some have little skill, but you know, so far they are all actionable people. And that motivates me to try to achieve a myriad of opportunities and goals with them, right? Beyond them. So they have a list of projects and they're working on them, and that's exciting enough. But when you have people that are actionable like Michelle Obama and yourself, and you have in your head self, you have a dream about an app, you could be a barber in a barbershop right now, and you have a dream about an app, and you want to create an app, and you know, it may be an app like your app that you want to make already out there. Again, so what? What's going to be different about your app, right? And if you think it's already out there, you just got to determine what's different about your application compared to the one out there and begin building it. What a lot of people don't know about my app, even if you read our magazine articles, interviews, and listen to my podcast and other people have talked to me, what you guys don't know is before I built even this app, I told people about this other app that I had worked on, and it evolved into this app. But what you don't know is there were a number of apps before I got to this app, not just the All Man app and that kind of stuff. There were a number of applications that I basically went around, right? I turned around in my head. And I invented some other things. I've always been, I'm not going to say a serial entrepreneur. I will work for people, but I've always been like, let's say, in love with the idea of self-preservation, because I believe jobs in and jobs go. Very few people will get to retire from their job in this type of economy. We live in a gig economy. I keep saying this. So a lot of people have their main job, side jobs, and multiple jobs. And they envision themselves going into real estate and making $1 billion, because real estate investors will tell you the most money and most millionaires ever created was from real estate. Well, this could be actually 100% true, no doubt. But it's not going to make you a dime if you don't have the time to work the real estate market, right? It can't make you any money. And then a lot of people buy buildings and then they don't want to be responsible for renters. Or, you know, they go into flipping and then they don't really understand the nuances of construction, right? You have to have the time and expertise to learn a market. And that's the difference between you and somebody in real estate and somebody working a job. They are successful because that's what they do 100% of the time. Right. This side job pretty much is a side job. Like, let's say they work for UPS or something 4 hours, 20 hours a week. But their full time job is real estate. That's a big difference from a lot of you. A lot of you are working 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week. And then your side job will be real estate. So, and you're saying to yourself, oh, well, all I got to do is find me a couple clients a month and I'm good. Well, that's true. That's true. You only got to find a couple clients a month and that's good. But you don't really know what you're capable of until you're starving. Say that with me. You don't know what you're capable of until you're starving. A wolf doesn't know what it's capable of until it's starving. A dog doesn't know what it's capable of until it's starving. A dog probably that's domesticated would never starve. A wolf, after a while, knows what it's capable of because it's tired of starving. It's an exciting opportunity to move beyond this space. There's some edgy opportunities and stuff out there. And what you're scared of, and what I tell people they're scared of, is success. Success is what people are scared of, because success will require you to live up to some of your dreams and your standards, right? Success would be. We look at success like LeBron James, and we look at superstars and amazing athletes and stars and people that we view successful in a myriad of spaces, you know. And we think that in some levels, we think it was overnight. Or we think it was hard work, but we truly don't know what went into it until we would envision or experience our own level of success. So when you look back on your life, you should be able to point out to milestones in your life where you finished something. You should. I said this before. And if you're going to build an application, and if you're going to build a business, or you're going to build something, you have to invest in yourself. If you're not invested in yourself, I don't care if it's in the streets. I don't care if it's connected to somebody through relationships. I don't care. You got to invest in yourself. You got to take the money or take the, not just the money, the time to upgrade your knowledge about a particular space and become an expert in that space. An expert. You should be able to talk on it nuancey. You should be able to talk on it high level, low level. You should be able to get your point across. You know, these people with pitch decks and all that kind of stuff, they say you should be able to get your point across in 30 seconds or less. I believe that's crap. It depends on what you are explaining. You should be able to get your point across concisely, right? But the reason they want you to get it across in 30 seconds or less, or 3 minutes or less, or whatever, 30 seconds or less, is because if it's a product for the customer, you don't have long time sometimes to advertise on TV, you know, about getting your point across. You don't have 3 minutes to get your point across on TV most of the time, right? You have 30 seconds or less a lot of time. So that's why they want you to get off. But like, again, I said, it depends on what it is in the audience or what you're trying to get off. If I'm trying to build a portable nuclear reactor, that might take longer than 30 seconds. Okay? You know, if I have built an anti-gravity device, you know, that can change the world, that might take longer than 30 seconds. If I have built a teleportation device, that might take a little longer than 30 seconds. It depends on who you're trying to sell it to, right? So you got to take that with a grain of salt. But opportunity knows no friend or foe. Opportunity sometimes is created. Opportunity sometimes is stumbled upon. And the best opportunity is to know when you aren't scared anymore and going to take that leap. You got to take that leap, not on just faith. You got to decide that failing is worse than not trying. You have to decide this. And since technology is always moving so fast, I try to tell the people I know and people I run into that anyone can be in technology. Anyone that is creative. Artists, doesn't matter, can be in technology. Finance can be in tech. I don't care what you do. You could be a social worker. You could be anybody. You can be in technology. And if you're not feeling that, you know, you're just like, okay, how can I apply my love to it? You know, how can I apply my love to the space of technology? Right? I point out technology is an opportunity for people for one clear thing, and I'm going to end it up with this. Especially for minorities, especially for African Americans, in a lot of ways. Opportunity is for technology is here, but it's the path to freedom of self-dependence. Be it business, financial, and it covers every aspect in every industry. So if you can create a business with low overhead, and I don't care if you're creating a retail business online or what have you, if you can create a business with low overhead and residual income and stick to it, you created a certain level of economic freedom, right? And you might say, that's not my passion, you know? Very few people know their passion. There's people out here to help people every day. They food truck people and help them all the time. They don't really know their passion. Well, you better find it before it finds you. And I'm not talking about your passion finding you. I'm talking about that undefeated clock, time. You know, time. You can, plenty of us waste time. When I look at the young people out here, especially like when I look at the 8-year-olds and the 7-year-olds, you know, I am slowly really enjoying just the interaction with the way their young mind works, you know, just the newness of it all, just the excitedness of it all, the beauty of it all, the beauty in them. And we should instill in them some of the things that we've learned, you know, and we don't have to, because all they do all day is look at YouTube. They're learning at a faster rate than we ever could learn. These kids looking at YouTube, people, they can't even wait on regular TV. They got to look at YouTube, and they're constantly looking at. Look at your 7-year-old, your 6-year-old, your 4-year-old. They are looking at YouTube and taking it all in like a sponge all day. I also suggest that you turn on your your security browser so you can see what they're looking at and see what websites they're looking at. Or you can set it to child mode. But my point being is pay attention. And they're learning some amazing things, And we want to be supporter of these dreams. So if you get a chance and you decide to read Michelle Obama's book or Obama's book, Audacity of Hope, or whatever book you want to read, just realize that people like these are not only rare, you know, the Michelle Obamas, the Obamas in general, they are a reflection of our society, and they had the audacity to hope, and they had the audacity to act on these dreams, and you can have that too. You know, I don't care if you want to be a rapper. If you put the time in it, you can do it. I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for your support. And as usual, guys, I want to thank you for fitting me in. Next week, we're going to have a very special guest. Of course, I'll fire it off with the confirmations when they come in. But it's going to be an exciting person. You know, I always try to bring the next level person. I have talking to a good friend of mine. I just want to get the confirmation from his executive assistant, and we'll bring him on in, and we'll just start talking the next level stuff and keep it going, because we're talking next level, every level, and then some. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your service, and thank you for fitting me in. Take care, guys.
For stylists, their time is their money. Stylists and barbers are looking to make better management of their time. Perhaps they're looking to sell things like booth space or find better hair care products or even new clients fast. You see, clients, stylists, distributors, manufacturers are looking for less uncertainty in their daily schedule with each other. Well, uncertainty just met certainty. Can You Fit Me In is a cutting-edge platform designed to help the beauty industry connect in real time. With Can You Fit Me In, everyone can choose to reschedule or cascade schedule their appointments based on alerts when anyone is running late. So when you know, everyone can know. And we didn't stop there. Can You Fit Me In also helps stylists or barbers to bypass overpriced product stores and order direct from a master distributors or manufacturers, allowing them to have quality products at cheaper prices. They can even order products and have them delivered on demand with Uber. I know, wow, right? Got vacant booth space? We got you. We help you buy and sell direct to salon or stylist. So what do you say? Can we fit you in? Visit canyoufitmein.com to get started.